From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Andrea Seabrook.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Bishop T.D. Jakes has taken a small, non-denominational Dallas church and built it into a massive ministry with a brand of entrepreneurial evangelism that reaches followers through movies, music, and megafests. A typical Jakes rally fills an arena with more than 100,000 followers.
God said before he lets you go under, he create a healing for the disease in your body. I wish you knew how much power God had for you. Somebody just take a moment and thank him for power.
Bishop Jakes has also written 30 best-selling books. His latest is called Reposition Yourself, Living Life Without Limits. And while on tour for that book, Bishop Jakes stopped by our studio. As one of the most influential black leaders today, Reverend Jakes has the ear of President Bush and former President Clinton. He says black clergy face a big challenge as the 2008 presidential election draws near.
I think that we have two different trends of thought. One of them is patterned more after the 60s and calling the system to social justice. And the other one is more contemporary, and it deals more directly with personal responsibility. I think the clergy face, first of all, that very challenge of which model they are going to implement, and then how to work effectively across lines for the betterment of our community. I think those are real challenges. We're certainly fighting a challenge to represent our community more effectively. Should we march? Should we picket? Should we write Congress? How do we work effectively with the Congressional Black Caucus and others? But, you know, I think really religion in general is struggling with politics, not just African Americans. Many times we've allowed ourselves to be taken up under the control of this party or that party. And I think that's dangerous when you do that, because I don't think that God should be assigned to a party. When the party goes bad, then the clergy are embarrassed. And I think the faith should transcend politics.
Now, a lot of people look to you for advice. They read your books. They go to your website. They come by the thousands to see you speak. And you dispense all kinds of advice and guidance. You provide religious guidance. You provide marital guidance. You provide increasingly financial guidance. What kind of political guidance do you provide?
I think we have some serious issues to confront politically, the morality or immorality of war. I'm concerned about education. I'm concerned about health care for the elderly and for average American people. I'm concerned about the poor. I'm concerned about a lot of political issues. And I realize that no individual is going to totally ascribe to every issue that's on my heart. But what I do encourage our parishioners to do is two things. One, to vote. And secondly, to be aware of the issues. I have 30,000 members, and they all, for the most part, read. So to assume that African Americans are ignorant and need the pastor to tell them how to vote is an insult to our intelligence. That day is gone.
I'd like to turn that around now and ask you what you're looking for. What do you look for when it comes to faith in a candidate, particularly in a presidential candidate?
I think it's important that a presidential candidate have some consciousness of faith and spirituality and morality. But I am not myopic to the extent that I think that should make the decision as to who we vote for. Because I think if you're going to be an effective leader, whether you're a Christian or Mormon or what have you, you can't just be the president of the Christians. You have to be the president of the United States, which incorporates atheists, agnostics, and all brands of faith. And many, many Christians don't understand that. They see this as a Christian nation. But I don't see this as a theocracy. I see it as a democracy.
Are there certain things that you want to hear in the expression of faith? Someone who can rattle off scripture, someone who can speak comfortably about their faith. Are there specific things that you're looking for that you want to hear?
I think somewhere down on the list, I may come to that. Initially, I don't think I'm any different from any other American. I want to hear about the issues. I don't want the camouflage of faith to muddy up the waters as to whether you are a leader. I often give the example to our congregation when they go in to have surgery. They'll come back and tell me, my doctor is a Christian. I said, that's great, but can he operate? Mm. Okay. I'm a very practical, pragmatic person. And when it comes to leadership, I think the primary issues that Christians are concerned about should be many of the same issues that all Americans are concerned about. And then if you share faith with me, that's wonderful. If you share culture with me, that's wonderful. If you share other things, gender with me, that's wonderful. But those ought not to be the major things that we focus on in choosing good leaders, because I know many people who really love the Lord, but they might not be a great president. Whoever moves into the White House now is going to have to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, effective in building relationships internationally. They're going to have the agility of thought and the dexterity of mind to be able to bring the nation together. I'm looking for somebody who brings people together rather than plays on our worst fears. I think that religious people, minorities, and many others have been played on, that people say things to incite us to riot, to get us to vote, and then don't fulfill promises. I'm tired of being a pawn. I want us to be united again.
That's quite a skill set that you're looking for among the pack of current candidates. Do you see someone who has these attributes?
I'm looking. I haven't had a close enough look yet. I am paying attention. I'm reading articles. I'm listening to what they say. And one of the things that to me muddies the water a bit is that running for the presidency and most political offices has become more of a sexy business. It's more about charisma and stage presence and television and articulation. And while that might get you elected, that doesn't always mean that you're effective at the job. So I'm trying to peel off the veneer of financing and the camouflage of charisma to see the wisdom and the intellectual ability, the intelligence, and the overall rhythm of the person and how they think. Because I really do think that we've been as divided as we dare be. There's too much hostility in this country right now.
Are you affiliated with one particular political party?
Yes.
And that party would be?
I keep that to myself.
Oh, you do? Okay. I'm not going to pry that out of you today.
Thank you. Thank you. You're merciful.
Bishop Jakes, thank you very much for stopping in to talk to us.
It's been a real pleasure.
Bishop T.D. Jakes, preacher, author, entrepreneur. His ministry is the Potter's House in Dallas, Texas. And his new book is Reposition Yourself, Living Life Without Limits. You can read an excerpt at our website, npr.org. And tomorrow, we'll take a look at the role evangelical voters are playing in the Republican presidential race.